at what the short essay that the Medrash says has on Pikudei. It says the Mishkan and everything was completed. Moshe said to Klal Yisroel, let me present to you an audit, an exact account of how I used every single piece of material you gave. Eile Pikudei HaMishkan, this are the reckonings, the disclosure of right monetary. Moshe sat down and he actually went through a description how every ounce of gold, silver, copper had was contributed, where it went. And then he gave his calculations to Isamar, the son of Aaron, for him to sign off on the audit. Moshe said there were 29 kikar and 730 shekel of gold, a kikar and 1757 shekel of silver. As he was trying to determine the allocation and where the silver was used, he remained with the sum of 1757 shekel that he still hadn't figured out where it went. And he because it didn't hit him immediately, he became quite concerned that, oh my gosh, if I can't explain, is somebody going to think that I embezzled it? The Meshach Chachma says that Hashem initially caused Moshe to forget how this silver was used. He said, the people whose donations were used for the exterior enclosure of the courtyard might grumble. They might have said, Moshe deliberately failed to use their silver for some part of the inner, the greater holiness of the Mishkan. Once Moshe, however, forgot what the donations of this amount had been used for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal the facts. And then they had the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided where each subdivision piece of metal went. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, with these 757 shekel, the hooks for the pillars were built. The pillars surrounded the courtyard, had silver hooks attached to them, which held curtains in place between the pillars. Moshe was relieved that the accounting had been given by Hashem, and B'nai Yisroel, with this realization, had a simcha. They had an internal happiness, and they rejoiced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had used everything and had determined where it would be used. Moshe Rabbeinu in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin, is called Neman by the Rabbono Shel Olam, trustworthy. And in demonstrating his being trustworthy, he wanted to justify every act before the people. It seemed there were rabble-rousers, some of which made the comment, Moshe Rabbeinu's neck seems to be getting very fat. And some other rabble-rouser said, no wonder, he's in charge of all that money. And I guess this was an indication that they were less than totally believing he wouldn't touch a penny. Moshe then swore to himself, I am going to give a detailed proclamation of how everything was used. It says that the people who made these comments, they basically observed that Moshe seemed to be getting wealthier. And they didn't know how this happened. And what we're told is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to keep the fragments of the sapphire of the two tablets when HaKadosh, right? When Moshe put in the words, right? Hashem said, Pesol lecha, Moshe, you carve it in. Hashem said, Moshe, you can have the shavings. You can have the parts that come out for yourself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a bracha in this that it made Moshe wealthy. We're told that the money collector of Stucka in the base of Migdash would never wear a double hemmed garment, so that no coin could fall in between the stitching. The belt was hollow, and even the pants were basically not with seams. It was one level. Because Hashem did not want any Jew to be able to say, if these people had success financially, that they had skimmed, God forbid, from that which was the tzedakah given to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, you've got to be naki, you've got to be clean, you've got to be faultless in the eyes of Hashem and Adam and mankind. There's a pasuk that says, Moshe completed Hashem's commandment as Hashem told him. And this recurs in the parsha 18 times. And it says that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly, took that number 18 when they first made the Shmona Esrei. This was a hint that in our day, when we no longer have a Mishkan or Beis Mikdash, our Tefillah stands in the place of all the Korbanos. The Torah stresses that Moshe built the Mishkan exactly as Hashem told him, excuse me, to impress upon all of us that Moshe, in every detail of the Mikdash, had a divine commandment. Moshe not only understood the commandment as to its physical description and how to be implemented, but even more so, Moshe comprehended the divine kavana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire as to what thoughts would go into each aspect and what illusions would be forthcoming in the Torah as it's taught throughout the generations. story is told that a new yeshiva building was complete. They had one of the greatest Jewish architects, right, design it to meet the requirements and to make it the best physical environment for the young Torah students. It was spacious. It was airy. The light was tremendous. There was an amazing library room, which provided spots for quiet concentration when you wanted to get out of the Beis Medrash, where people tend to yell when they learn. Every room was designed so the students would be able to maximize their Torah efforts in it. The builders attached the plaque to each room. And it said, as per the instructions of the architect, Moshe Chaim. This would make every student aware of the fact that each detail had been done with a plan. It was not haphazard. Each part of the plan was put together to enhance Limud HaTorah, the study of Torah. Our Parsha, which talks about the building of the Mishkan, basically puts a label on each object. That label is it was built as a Kaddish Baruch Hu told Moshe. And we're being told to understand that this was a construction that was basically otherworldly. It was based on spirituality, and it was a manifestation in physical terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted spiritually. The Mishkan was completed after 3 months. And the day it was completed was the 25th of Kislev, 2449. We know the 25th of Kislev would later become Hanukkah. Moshe was under the impression that that was the day it should be set up. Hashem said, I want to wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the month that is worthy of the Chanukah Sabayis, the inauguration of the Mishkan. It is a month in which the Shekhinah illuminates the world, and the Mishkan is to bring oyer, light, to the world. Kislev was therefore bypassed, and as the Kaddish Baruch Hu always compensates for things that happen that maybe we might think shouldn't have, Kislev became the day when the Chashmonaim lit the menorah again. Hashem told Moshe to personally erect the Mishkan and take it down every day from Hanukkah until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The scoffer said, do you really think that the Shekhinah is going to be here on what work Ben Amram did? In other words, it's coming down because it's a failure every day. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Hashem had the Mishkan set up and it would now stay permanently. And what Hashem first did is, He commanded all those who had been laughing and being doubters, and He said, I want you, specific people, to be the first ones to attempt to put up the Mishkan. And I guess being the people they were, they said, sure, we'll get this done. And it was an abject failure. It would not stand. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Kanim, the wisest people, and they couldn't do it. Finally, Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you personally put up the Mishkan. And it says, there were Nisim. He would touch a beam and it moved into proper position. He would touch the various pieces and they would be where they wanted. We know that the Miluim, the inauguration ceremony, lasted 8 days. Moshe operated in those 8 days like the Kohen Gadol. And these were the 8 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's why the Chassidish Minig, that they stopped saying Tachnun 8 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Hashem showed Moshe where everything was to be. He showed him how to bring the Ketores, how to prepare the candles of the menorah, which were lit in two separate parts, how to anoint all of the kelim with the Shemen HaMishkah, the anointing oil. How specifically to bring each necessary korban. And Moshe would dress Aaron and his sons in the big day kahuna, in the special clothing, both for the Kohen Gadol and for the Kohen Hedya, the other Kohanim. And Moshe anointed the Kohanim, Aaron and his four sons, to be the Kohanim. We know we're going to finish Shmos this week. We're going to read first Vayikra and Tzav, which are details of Korbonos, the technical matters involved. And then we're going to get to Parsha Shmini. Vayehi b'yom ha-shmini. This was the 8th day of the inauguration, and that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We're told that on that day, Aaron brought the Ketores, and when that happened, the cloud of Shechina, that special cloud that went over the Kodesh, right, the building with the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, it then, that Shem sent that cloud into place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for His Shechina to be manifested. When Avram sinned, it says somehow it went one level up into Shemayim. When Enosh's generation sinned, it went up to level 2. with the Marble 3, with the Tower and the Dispersal 4, with the corruption of the Egyptians when they took Sora 5, Stein and its sins moved the Shekhinah back up to the 6th level. Finally, it says, the depravity of the Egyptians during the Golas Mitzrayim moved it to the 7th. And then it says that how was it brought back down? Avram's chus brought it down 1. Yitzchak down from to the 5th level. Yaakov to the 4th. Levi to the 3rd. Kahas to the 2nd. And Amram had it on the 1st level of Shemayim, heaven. Only when Moshe put up the Mishkan did the Shekhinah come back down to where it was when Adam HaRishon was created. The Jews were not, they didn't think that when the Shekhinah that they saw was the cloud over the Ohel Moed, they did not believe that that was the only place HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifested his glory. They knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, but they knew there was a concentration of Shekhinah on the Ohel Moed. When the cloud descended onto the Ohel Moed, Moshe, out of deference, would not go in. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of all the Jews, summoned Moshe to come in to the Ohel Moed. The Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan of Testimony. It was a witness to all of the nations in the world that Klal Yisroel had been completely forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. The Mishkan was so great that its holy vessels never fell into non-Jewish hands. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, they were transferred there. And as we've said, every item in the Mishkan was buried. The Mishkan was so beloved by Hashem that it was so precious because Hashem appreciated the tremendous hislavos, devotion, Mesiras Nefesh, the real work of Moshe, Bezalel, Aholiyav, and everyone who got involved in doing any aspect of the construction. There's a statement, Tz'enu re'enu b'noich Yerushalayim b'melech Shlomo. Go out and see Klal Yisroel, the king to whom all peace belongs, Beatora she'atra lo imo, with the crown that Klal Yisroel made for Hashem. That is a Mishkan, which had gold, silver, and diamonds like a crown. Even though Shamayim v'aretz cannot in any way contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his Shechina and put it in a finite spot. When we say Ma tovu alecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, this is the tents of Shechina and Moshe. Mishkan Osecha Yisroel, the dwelling places for Hashem you have built. This was considered to be the Mishkan when it moved to Shiloh after Yehoshua settled the land. Then it went to Nov, and then it went to Givon. We're told that the cloud of glory rested on the Mishkan by day, and there was a cloud of fire by night. This was visible to all of Klal Yisroel throughout their journeys in the Midbar. And this volume of the Medrash says, ends, it says, Ashrei ha'am shekach aloi, Ashrei ha'am shehashem aloi kov. How fortunate are Klal Yisroel, the people who experienced this. How fortunate is Klal Yisroel, who has the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as their one and only God. Okay, we'll stop here.